Well, we're going to say to those who have tuned in, we have sent a great deal of messages out. Of course, this is a something that I do, brothers and sisters, and is now a few seconds before the show actually to start. But we want to thank each and every one of you who've been participating. Communication is considered being everything that is needed. It's not a luxury anymore. It's a necessity. It's a necessity, and for some strange reason, we have lost that type of communication and understanding that we have to be able to be in touch with people in all walks of life, not just us who is in Islam, not just us who's African-American, not just us that's brown or yellow. We have to be in touch with society. Things are happening. Things are going on. We don't understand why. And I tried my utmost. I've learned being out there in the corporate world for 40 years and trying to adopt what is necessary, what is good and what is bad. And this evening, I decide to do something that has never really actually been done. And I want to not take credit for it, for the gentleman that I'm going to introduce you all to called me.
And I'm here, by the way.
Oh, thank you, Frank, man. And this gentleman that came into my life as investigating the sport of boxing. That's what he did. But prior to that, I'll be on the phone for another hour to tell you his outstanding achievement and finding these major, major, major companies that he had to investigate and take them down. They had to pay. One thing I found out about him, if you're not a crook, you his friend. He's a former football player, and I make a joke when we all together and we be singing the black songs from the Temptations and all, he's the lead singer. He knows every lyric of the song. We all was very shocked.
Mirage, you're giving away my age. Be careful.
So this gentleman here investigated the sport of boxing, brothers and sisters, and I didn't know why, but I called him myself. That's how I met him. And I said, how is it that you have all these promoters at the UN and they all there at the Senate being questioned, but you don't call me? He said, you got Roy Jones Jr.? I said, yes. He said, I'd like to meet him. I said, you'd rather meet Roy Jones Jr. and not me? I said, Roy ain't been in the business as long as I have. He said, okay, I'll tell you what. How about you call me on Friday? I said, well, Friday is Juma. He said, all right, make it the next Friday. I said, no, that's Juma. He said, all right, call me Friday at 4 o'clock. I never heard from him. So I'm upset until I found out, brothers and sisters, his investigation was to bring down all the crooks. And he didn't call me. I was so thankful that I didn't understand what actually was going on and why is this all happening. And that's how we met. But then when he retired, I told my executive vice president, Ronald Saladin, I said, go get him. He said, you're not going to get that man. That's the only thing beats a failure is to try. Ask him would he come in my corporation. Because if you are dealing with multi-millions of dollars, they're going to check on you. And they're going to haunt you. And they're going to do certain things that, my God, it happens. It happens in life. And so I felt if I brought him a part of me and he stamps approve everything I've done, surely they wouldn't come and get me. That was my understanding. he came into my life like my own biological brother, and we fell in love with my whole corporation, fell in love with the gentleman I'm getting ready to introduce you to. His honesty and his integrity, his moral decency, and his love for human beings. And I can honestly tell you that. And when I retired from the sport, he came with me, and he's been with me ever since. I said, what would you like to do, Warren? He said, I would like to see if I can educate and instill in your people that you talk with to show them how they can be safe, because all police officers are not crooks. Now, I have to say this, brothers and sisters. The reason I've done this, you all don't know that I came in law enforcement years ago and came by an Irishman, Chris Jackman, and I call him Uncle Christy. And he said, you know why you all get picked on? He said, because you're not part of law enforcement. I became part of law enforcement. Then I was able to sit with Christy, and Christy said, you want to do something outstanding? Show your love. What is love? N-E-N-E-Y. And I gave a great deal of money in law enforcement. The flag man knows all of this. I went through scrutiny. I mean, scrutiny to get a license in the casino so you can handle $50 million on up. You can't be a crook and be in those casinos. Well, I was handling a great deal of money. And so I got my license in 1982. I can run for governor. I can run for mayor. I can run for anything that has anything to do with the government, because of the license I have. Not boxing license, that's easy. I am the boxing person in the state of New Jersey. However, to get on that level, it opened the door to billionaires around the country, But when I went to renew myself after in 2001, I think it was, 2001, they asked me that I investigate you, but I need to know what you have done. I said, well, ask the governor, ask the senator, ask the sheriff's department, ask the police officers, ask the state troopers, call the networks. They said, no, no, no. We need you to bring us a letter. I said, oh, I got to get a letter from my mother to come out and play? I did not want to do it. Harvey Poole and I, he said, hey, that's Marad. You keep your license, and you think you have to check me after all I went through and all the money I paid for? Some reason my phone rang in my office. I picked it up. It was the flag man. Rod, what did you do? So what do you mean what I did? He said, what did you do in Atlantic City? I said, I told them all to go to hell. Rod, what do you think you brought me around for? You can't tell them to go to hell. Well, flag man, I've been honest, had integrity all these years. He said, Marad, if you, they let you go, everybody would come by and say, I'm not doing it because Marad didn't do it. I said, what do you want me to do? He said, I'll give you a recommendation. I said, okay, can you hold that thought? Brother says, I went out and got 1,000. He was the 1,000. I got them from senators, I got them from lawyers, I got them from doctors, I got them from all the politicians. I even got a letter from my wife and children. And all the children that I taught the schools wrote me a letter. That's true. So we went back down there, I handed it to them, and they said, oh my God, it was five of them on the panel, all Caucasian, one woman. She didn't get one. So I gave her mine. She said, I'd like to have that. And a letter came in the mail. Said, thank you, Mr. Muhammad, for submitting to our rules and regulations. We will never question your credibility again. Enclosed, here's your license. And when I got them licensed all the way up to 2006 when I retired. I'm saying to you, brothers and sisters, I would never introduce you to someone that don't have a heart that's like your heart. I would never introduce you with someone that don't understand the inner city. This man not only was successful as the FBI agent decorated by President Clinton. But this man had his own school for minorities. Paid for teachers and all. And I used to call, he used to send them, he used to take them with him. But before I close out, I'm going to tell you what he and I decided to do. No, hell, I'm going to say it now. I said, Black man, I got a thought. I said, I want to secure all the messages in this country. I want them to be able to ride down the road, and they stop them. All you got to do is hand them your car. They have to call that number, toll free. And when they call that number, the FBI picks up the phone. And that intelligence says, he's okay, she's okay, and you keep moving. Because now you go down south, you get stopped, they take your money. And you got to come back to court to get it. They'll take your credit card and go in your bank account, and you can't do nothing. So they waste billions of dollars ripping off minorities coming through those cities, those states. So I wanted to put a stop to it. So the flag man took me over to the top intellectual men that runs this pretty much this country in the knowledge of law enforcement, the FBI. Some of the best, Latinos, African Americans, you name them, they was there. They run 20 states. So they said, Ron, no problem, we'll do this. I said, I can't do it unless I get the Jews to approve. I got to get the Christians to approve. They said, we'd be 129 churches from the Carmel. We can start right now. I said, I can't start now until my Islamic company, corporation says yes around the country and my Jewish brother. And what do you want to wait for? I said, because it's in the Quran. We are obligated and morally to protect the life and the sacred belongings to every house of worship. That's in the Quran. They looked at me. He said, you want all of them? I said, I can't do it without what the Quran says. And the flag man said, let's do it. So, brothers and sisters, this is not just, he don't really like accolades. But the point is, I have to introduce you why I love him so much. Black man, welcome to our conference call. And usually we have connected into 3 million people, but this is not going to just stop there. I want to introduce you to my Islamic family, and I want to introduce you to my Christian family. And if the Rabbi Abraham, if this was not a Friday, he would be on the line also. Say hello to my community.
Well, listen, to your listeners, to your petitioners, to the people that listen to you, I want to send my condolences, first of all, to all families who have suffered some kind of police abuse, whether it's minor by being pulled over for no reason, all the way down to the most recent issues of the Floyd family and obviously the Blake family. My condolences go out to them. I want you to know that I'm on the radio not to spout about being a good police officer or being a good Muslim or Jew. I have a solution. And I want your listeners to really, really understand how the system currently works. In the police department, Murad, there are 700,000 police officers out throughout the country. I don't know if your listeners knew that. In any event, each individual police precinct and police force have a system called IAD. It's Internal Affairs Division. Now, there's a flaw in that system, in my opinion, okay? Why? Because people in the New York City Police Department, they join the New York City Police Department, they know friends, and then are assigned to IAD. Well, they're not going to do a thorough investigation of their police officers because they're friends and neighbors. You don't want to have your friend who lives down the block investigating any allegation. This is what has led to, in the Floyd situation, the police officer had 17 complaints. That's outrageous, Murat. Now I'm going to tell you what the federal system is, and I'm going to give a solution to how we correct that. In the federal system, if Warren Flagg, as an FBI agent, has an allegation, there are people that come down from Washington, D.C., and they're called. They're not from the New York office. They're from Washington, D.C. They don't know Warren Flagg from anybody. So they're called Office of Professional Responsibility, and we have an acronym called OPR. These are agents that are assigned, they're FBI agents assigned to investigate any allegation, from an accident to a shooting. What happens is they go out, they try to get all the answers, and the last person that is interviewed is the person who the complaint was made against. That person goes in, and they're read a vice of rights called an employee advice of rights, which means they tell you what the allegation is, and you make a statement. That statement is taken down by a stenographer, and that stenographer, there are questions back and forth. And at the bottom of that statement, if you are found to be not trustworthy, then lack of candor is a fireable defense in the FBI. So even if I go in and I tell them what happened, whatever the allegation was, and 2 years later they find out that I was wrong, I lied about it, you cannot be an FBI agent and be caught lying, or lack of candor, it's called. So here's my solution to what I believe is a possible changing of the guard of the normal system of IED. What we need to do, and I'm going to talk now, I know your listeners are all over the country, but let's just talk about New York City. In New York City, you have 30,000 approximately police officers, and you have a large internal affairs division. But there are also police officers in Rockland County, Westchester County, in New Jersey, Bergen County. There are state troopers in those states, okay? They all have IEDs. What I would recommend to your listeners, and this is we're in a discussion phase, Murad. So what I would say is, if there's an allegation against a police officer, let's say it's the second or third, you then bring in, and there are minor allegations, one, but obviously a shooting, you want to bring in an independent review. Now, you can't have the local people review that. You can't have somebody that sits on city council review that. You need a police officer with at least 5 years' experience, and that person would come in from Westchester to New York, from Rockland County to New York, from Bergen County to New York, from New Jersey State Troopers, and would be assigned that officer's complaint. He would give time to investigate it and come up with a conclusion. He would do what the Bureau does. He would read him advice of rights, an employee advice of rights, and it says that if you lie, you're going to be fired from the police department. That way we don't have that silent blue line that everybody talks about. That way it doesn't get washed under the covers. It is out in the open. And at that particular investigation, you would find out that this police officer, whoever it is, he or she, whether he's a captain or he's an inspector, whoever it may be, would be investigated equally under the provisions that I suggest. Now, everybody is outraged at what's going on, Murat. Okay? We all are. I mean, there are friends in law enforcement that I have, there are friends in the Bureau that I have, Even the Bureau has been smeared lately with the allegations of lack of candor. Strzok, Page, other people. And it's been politicized, as we know. That has to stop. And why does it have to stop? Again, this is all in my opinion. What you will see is, if we don't come up with at least a solution to try something, you're going to have vigilante situations. Like just occurred recently, a 17-year-old went from Illinois to Wisconsin and shot two people and wounded another, killed them. Then there is a vigilante situation, recall, maybe your constituents know, that happened where a guy held up and killed, called the police. There are a number of police executions, I'll call them, okay? We've got to stop this, both sides. And the way to do it is, in my opinion, is to bring trust back to the system. We need a system so that you and me, who live in different communities, we all want to be treated under the same rules and regulations. And if everybody knows what those rules are, you break it, you're fired. It's a privilege to be a police officer. It's a privilege to be a firefighter. It's a privilege. It's not a given. It's a privilege to drive. That's why the states give you a driver's license, okay? They can take it away, too. If you make enough violations, what do? They suspend you. You go to class. This has to be done with the police department the same way. Now, I encourage your listeners to either send in questions. You know my feelings on this. I'm giving a positive solution that is acceptable to the law enforcement end of it, and also I hope to your constituents. So I look forward to hearing from you or from your callers, anybody.
Well, we're going to open the line. What I do, Flagman, and one of the reasons I'm successful, very few people cannot do that. I don't program the people that calls in. But this is about everyday religion. Whether you a Hindu, Jewish, whether you Seventh-day Adventure, they've been calling me, and I just go to the Quran and give them the answer. Now, the reason why I'm able to do that, and I put you in this position, because all of the years as an FBI agent, all of the years that you've seen trouble, there's nothing they can't ask you that you don't know. And that's what makes it real. As you know, I do live TV. I don't do tape delay. All my thousands on ABC, NBC, CBS, they say, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 is on. If you make a mistake, the whole world going to see it. You don't make a mistake.
Right.
So that is real. Jackie Gleason, I love using his name. He's been on for over 25 years because he never programmed nothing. He did it live. That's what Jackie. And anything he slipped up and messed up, he made you laugh. Okay, I want to ask you this question, because I think it's an excellent question to start the people off. I have said this many times. You know me. You've been there before you met me. You have checked on things I've done. My success, and one, will bring you to me. Two, you knew my history. And when Saladin came, who you're very close to today, you're close to everyone, from Marion, you name them, you know all of us. But when Saladin came to you, this was your answer. You said, you know what I mean? Promoters called me. I can't be a part of a crook. I'm telling you right now. But you, I'm coming with. Now, believe me, as a minority from the project, you put me in cloud 9 because I did not know there were so many crooks, one. And two, I am not one. But I just need you to tell my audience why you chose to come around me and why we're so close today.
Well, I'd like to start, give a little history, okay? When the FBI does an investigation, a lot of times we drop subpoenas, and the use of a subpoena is generated in the federal system by an assisting United States attorney that has impaneled a grand jury. Grand jury subpoenas and information that is gleaned by those subpoenas cannot be shared with anybody other than the person that's testifying. Okay? So anything that's been said inside the grand jury is secret until it's released either through an indictment or, in some instances, it's never released. If there never gets to the point where the jury believes that there was a crime committed, those interviews, whether you believe them to be true, not true, remain sealed. It's called a 6E order. So when I started investigating the boxing world, there were numerous subpoenas, and I knew back then that people were not going to confess, not tell the truth on the first interview, etc. And I worked my way through the whole boxing situation, and the only person that didn't come up with any bad background was Murad Muhammad. Now, at the time, he represented Roy Jones Jr. He then later represented Manny Pacquiao and other great fighters, even before I started investigating. But the reason that I joined is because I was approached by other promoters, known promoters, with the initials DK and BA, okay? These people asked me to do certain things, and I joined their organization and do what I did for M&M Sports. I said, I can't do that. And when Saladin approached me, I said, fabulous. I'll gladly do that. And not be, you have to be humble in a world that you're not familiar with. I don't care if you're an imam and you're a first-time learner of the Quran. You are humbled first. You want to learn the system first. You want to learn the Quran first. You want to learn the boxing business first. You don't want to go in there and say, I'm executive vice president and I know everything. So what I did, and Murad, I'm going to tell your constituents, as you know, at times I was the janitor for M&M Sports. At times I was the executive vice president of M&M Sports. At times, I had to take the tests from one particular boxing association statewide test. I remember taking a test in Shreveport, Louisiana, so that Manny Pacquiao could fight for a title, even though we weren't involved. We would not give you a promoter license unless somebody from M&M Sports took that. I read the entire booklet for that particular state and then took a written exam given by the head of the athletic department for that state. And then you were awarded a license because I was all part of M&M Sports. So that's the background that your listeners need to know, okay? And now you're an esteemed, knowledgeable person of the Quran. You have awarded me an award, an Islamic award, which I'm much appreciative of. And I spoke in right after 9/11 to an enormous crowd. I believe it was in Louisiana, but it might have been Alabama. And I wanted to explain exactly what the government felt, what the government was going to do, and what occurred to really just quell the tempers and show that there's somebody that is on my level that can talk about these issues when they come up. So the most recent tragedies that have occurred, I reached out for you. I reached out for you because I believe that I have at least a suggestion on how to change a process that is broken in trust. And we have to bring the trust back to the public, trusting the police, and vice versa, the police trusting their constituents, so that we don't have this violence. We don't have the burning of buildings, because it just escalates and nobody wins. I hope that answered your question.
Yes, I just wanted to add, the reason you went into those states and quietly was kept is racism. They didn't want
no question.
And
100%
I said,
true.
And see, brothers and sisters, you have to understand, you have to have long arms. I don't play golf. I don't go into the clubs. And surely I'm not an FBI. But when you bring in the FBI and they say, well, is he a crook? Well, it's already stamp approved. Black man, you with him? Yes. You see, brothers and sisters, in this world, if you're dealing with a Jew, a Jew will call the next Jew that you're talking to. You know Marat? Yes. You eating steak? Yes. Okay. Now they work. But when racism comes, they don't want no problem out of FBI, former FBI agent. So he would go in there and say, you won't give him the test, give me the test. You don't
exactly
want him in your state, I'm the honky. He used to use the phrase, I'm his honky.
Yeah. I'm the token white guy, I used to say.
Yeah. Now, you got to understand, brother and sister, a great football player, a great educator, and a master in the field that he was told to do is to find all crooks. Our job is to have a group of men like that, that has this type of knowledge that can save us from the things that we get caught up with, not because we're guilty. You got the wrong complexion for the right protection. So you have to be able to deal with people that understand those who they respect. So he speaks for me. Now, I got two young ladies out there. There's many more, but I want to see which one is there. Salima, are you there? You can ask him whatever comes to your mind, and if he knows the answer, he will surely give it to you. Are you there, Salima?
Assalamu alaikum, and yes, I am. I am here. It is a pleasure, Uncle Marat, to be here, and sir, it is an honor to have you speak to us about this very important matter. From your discussion, I do have a specific question. You spoke about the IAD, which is
Internal Affairs Division.
And based on the Internal Affairs Division, I'm going to say it this way. It's a good old boy network, okay? So what you're suggesting...
I understand exactly, yes. You're 100% right. Go ahead.
Okay. So what you're suggesting, I think the infrastructure is absolutely perfect. An independent review board, if I may, or something to that effect,
well,
that will...
Go ahead. I'll let you finish your question, and then I'll... Go ahead.
Okay, that will assign, and not necessarily a board, but, you know, an independent review system that will assign a police officer or police officers to allow transparency of a particular case, an officer involving that case. You also said that it would be a good idea, and this is the part I want to emphasize on, send a letter to local officials. Who would that be? Would that be police chief, mayors,
no,
public officers?
Yeah. Let me answer your portion of your question. You can continue. I want to, like, correct a few things. The important thing is the independent, number one, I'm recommended that there are other police officers, not from the police, New York City police, investigating New York City police, which you say, in your words, you know, they're protecting their own. I want an independent person from Westchester, from some other police department, okay?
Okay.
And they're familiar with the problems of the police. And I want your constituents to know this. They're human beings. They're under attack. They're under pressure. They're afraid of going out and stopping cars. Nothing is more scary than pulling a car over in the middle of the night and not knowing who is in it, okay? Now, that person, if he's had 17 complaints, is already in the wrong because he's got a trigger finger already, okay?
But if
it's two or three complaints, you're not going to put that person in that position. He's either going to be suspended, or he's going to be reprimanded, or he's going to be fired. And it's going to be done by people that understand. It's not going to be whitewashed. If I went to Bergen County and they asked me to do an internal affairs investigation, which has occurred, the Bureau does that on civil rights violations. It's simple. You do the interviews. You put them in the grand jury. If they lie, they're fired. And we need that all the way down so that the trust in the police department starts to turn. It's not going to turn overnight. It's going to turn by people like yourself writing and saying, this is what I want. Please, let's try something. Obviously, the system is broken, in my opinion.
Bill Hunter.
I thought it was an excellent question. I'm sorry if I cut you off. If there's more that you'd like to ask me about it, fire away.
Yes, this is Bill Hunter. Can I ask a question?
Sure, Bill. Go ahead.
First of all, Bill, I want you all to know it's an honor to have Bill Hunter. You'll talk about Harris, but this is a man that ran the prosecutor office in California. He was the top man. And the lawyer who represented O.J. was his assistant. And they controlled the board with honesty and integrity for years. He lost them because he went on and took on the O.J. case and because he became pretty famous after that. Bill left the prosecutor office. It didn't accomplish what he wanted to accomplish because he felt that they should master this for years and he would not have none of these problems. But he took over the NBA. All those thousands of players came to Bill. He was overtaking them, advising them, telling them what to do and how to do it. They got jealous. Because that was too much power for one black man. But that's his legal mind. Bill Hunter, he was so outstanding that he brought in his children who went to school, which everyone does. You always put your family, the people that love you, the people you know. So if he had to pass away, it can be handed off. They did not like that. So Bill said, you can't tell me what to do. And so therefore, when I learned Bill, he knew a little about me, a little about him, and we came together. I'll disturb him because he's a brilliant mind. But I will say this. When Jay-Z wanted to sign a major agreement with a friend of his, he said, I won't sign this if you're going to go get Bill Hunter. Bill said, no, I don't want to do that. I just want to keep doing what I'm doing. He said, no, I will not sign. He said, I won't sign if you don't go get Barack Obama. That's a true story. Welcome, Bill. I'm quite sure most of y'all know that part of the world. It's an honor to see now both of you. I got an FBI and an outstanding attorney at law.
Thank you, Bill. It's a pleasure to have you.
Yeah, thank you. I've heard a lot about you because Brother Murad and I, you know, when we've had our conversations, he spoke glowingly of you, and I guess I've been a beneficiary in that I've been listening to the program earlier, and I wasn't sure whether or not I could ask a question, so I actually went off and then came back on so I could hear the direction where it says you announce your name. And anyway, I was listening to your comment with regard to police officers investigating themselves or neighboring departments. I had a couple of situations when I was U.S. attorney in San Francisco, and I served under President Jimmy Carter, who appointed me, and then I also served for a while under President Reagan. And anyway, during my tenure with President Carter, on two occasions I had intended to indict and attempted to indict some police officers for the same kind of conduct that we're seeing today. One officer in the San Francisco PD had shot an elderly black man who was an invalid umpteen times, just shot up his whole apartment. And then on another occasion, a police officer in the Oakland PD who had killed several people before had killed a black man in a service station. I can't remember all the facts right now. But what transpired was when it came time to conduct the investigations, particularly in San Francisco, I had to send for FBI agents out of Washington, D.C., because the local agents felt that there was a conflict or they didn't want to, quote, in any way contaminate the relationship with local police officers, the local police department. And so they were kind of dragging their feet. And so I had to appeal to the attorney general in Washington. At that time was Attorney General Griffin Bell. And I was also serving on the attorney general's advisory committee. There were 10 of us United States attorneys from around the country. But that was my experience, in that the local FBI agents were reluctant to want to go out and investigate a police officer for possible murder. And so they had to bring in agents from Washington, D.C. to conduct the investigation.
Well, Bill, let me ask a question to follow that up. Did the agents come to you and say they wanted to recuse themselves, or did you find this out and then requested from Washington, D.C. to have new agents?
I think I either found it out. I can't remember if the special agent in charge had informed me, or maybe some of the assistant U.S. attorneys who were working under me may have been working on the case. I know I specifically went out to the site where the shooting occurred, because I had also served as the chief. I also served as the chief assistant in the San Francisco District Attorney's Office before being appointed United States Attorney. And and I remember that they said they were kind of dragging their feet or something, and so that's when I made the appeal to Washington, and we had special agents sent out from Washington, D.C. to conduct the investigation.
Well, I don't know how, if you heard my suggestions on at least some sort of change, meaning that we needed an independent police IAD force.
Right.
Let's go down. Obviously, in the Bureau, that's easily done because, as you know, you're going to charge these people with civil rights violations, which occurs. And maybe some of these cases, they'll have civil rights violations. And that's what you were heading towards. You know, it's not a simple manslaughter. We don't have that, you know, that kind of...
No, that's true. That's true.
On the federal stuff. But the important thing is you were able to reach out and come to some conclusion by an independent agents that didn't know their constituents. There isn't going to be the New York City IAD investigating New York City IAD corrupt officers. Because, as you said, the pool has been tainted in the eyes of the public. Now, the IAD guys might do their job and say, you know, nothing happened. but we need the trust. So you need the independent people from other police departments. They need to be able to reach out and say, listen, I need you over here. This is an important investigation. And have to be trusted. So that was my recommendation. That's why I'm on the line. I certainly welcome you who spent many years in the U.S. Attorney's Office. You know agents. You know, they're... go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I was going to say the other, ironically, I never got to indict the guys because Drew Days, who was a black male, was an assistant attorney general in charge of the Civil Rights Division in D.C. at the Department of Justice. And he and I kind of locked horns because I said, I'm going to indict the police. And he said, no, you can't indict them. I'm not going to authorize you to indict them. And so I said, you got to be joking. So ultimately, I filed an appeal. I appealed to the Attorney General, Griffin Bell, and the Deputy Attorney General under Judge Bell was the one who heard the case. So I flew back to Washington, and we sat down. And the issue that they raised with me is the issue that everyone appears to be confronting today, and that is, can you guarantee us a conviction? And I said, hell no, I don't guarantee you a conviction when I indict Joe Johnson. So I'm not going to guarantee, I can't guarantee you a conviction. I think all the murder cases I've done, that there's a justification to charge this police officer. And they said, no, we're not going to let you do that. So I was barred. I was never able, and this was back in the 70s. So I'm way ahead of the curve in terms of
yeah,
where
you certainly were. I'm sorry. I wish some of those situations would have been changed. I mean, obviously under Mary Jo White in the Eastern District, who was the U.S. attorney, she charged the civil violations on a particular case in which they were acquitted and then received a conviction. And our system in the federal system is different than states. And I think, you know, there are shootings in the Bureau and they're thoroughly investigated by OPR. Which is the Office of Professional Responsibility for your listeners.
Yes.
And it's they're independent also, okay? So it's a better playing field for the agent who's under investigation and also for the people that are the results of the shooting, whichever way it goes.
Mm-hmm.
And you must be able to trust the system. When the system breaks down, then we have vigilantes, like we did recently.
That's true. Well, I was involved in the, and you'd probably know, a Jimmy Fratiano case when he was apprehended out in San Francisco. James Fratiano was put out of Ohio.
Wow. Well, listen, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, my pleasure as well.
You know, I hope our suggestions, you know, Murad needs to reach out for the people. You know, look, you can have money if it's a money issue, and obviously now with the NBA and the NFL and all the other different organizations realizing, I mean, let's get a couple of billionaires to say, hey, if it's going to cost the police department to bring somebody in from Bergen County to investigate somebody in New York, we'll pay for it.
Right, right.
You know, and that way you're it's an independent group that's funding it. It's not even being funded by New York City.
Right.
You know
what,
Black man, you said something. You got to understand, there's 30 million of us. 30 million. Now, there's more, but there's 30 million.
Mm-hmm.
That's $1, we got 30 million. We can do this ourselves. We can help these people. That's what you suggested. Everybody is afraid of money. You can always create money. The reason why most people have a fear complex, inferior complex, because they never had money. So they are in positions and they stop everyone because they don't want anyone to supersede them. You got a lot of us that look like us that gets paid to do just what they do, hold you in neutral.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Murad, can I hold you there for a minute? I want to throw something out at you, and I understand where you're coming. And Bill, hopefully you're still on the line.
I'm still here.
They send people will contribute to a cause if they know that dollar is going to that individual. It's called a GoFundMe account. If you set up a GoFundMe account for an independent groups to investigate police officers and it's regulated, you will get a dollar from 30 million people and you'll be able to fund it. Bill, what do you think of that?
Well, I can tell you this, you see, when I did the fight in Vegas and we needed $25 million, I said to Don King, if we do this together, two black men, two entrepreneurs, and et cetera, I said, they're going to pull a plug on us. Just a plug, meaning no one got the single, so we didn't make no money.
Right.
If you don't go and get someone who has that ability that they fear because of their power, nobody likes repercussion. So that's when I went and got Steve Wynn. However, same with what you're saying. There's no other vehicle out there that so far has been legitimate. They take their percentage and they give it to you. You do what you want with your money. So you always go find one who has years of continuity of honesty and integrity. One day we may have our own system, but right now we do not. So you need to start yesterday. So GoFundMe, now let me say this to you. They say, who's going to be over top of? Well, we're talking about millions.
A prominent attorney like Bill, who has got impeccable credentials. He puts it, you know, I'm just throwing that out, but I mean somebody with his credentials.
People who has track record, that's the problem. We don't trust one another. We have to have people. See, when you say Bill, you, me, we got 1 foot in the grave. Maybe you caught us at 19, we might, but not now. We don't. We want to leave here and giving back. And it's all in being honest and transparent. You can't take GoFundMe and put 30% of it in your pocket. So this is great. Now, I want to say this. Bill, I think you left, Bill.
I want to ask Bill. I'm still here. I just put you on mute while you.
This is God's will because, you know, I send mine out to millions of people and they're so helping you on the line. Would you be so kind to tell my listening audience what did you actually do for the NBA before you decided to retire?
Well, I was executive director of the Players Association for about 18 years. So I negotiated at least 4 collective bargaining agreements between myself and David Stern. Matter of fact, the players are currently under the last contract that I negotiated on their behalf, which was negotiated in 2012. And it's like a 10-year agreement, 10-year labor agreement.
Bill, were you involved with Stern during the? I know we're sidestepping a little bit, but during,
no problem.
Remember the crooked turn. Ref?
Oh yeah. I was there with the referee. Yeah, out of Philadelphia. of course. Yeah, that was going my era.
One of these days when we're not on the line with the constituents, we need to talk.
Yeah,
you can get my phone number from because I was out of the bureau at the time and I represented them.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
So I've got some information for you that you may agree or disagree with, but
okay. Yeah, I would like to hear that. I think a lot of people were running for cover on that.
There's about 10. I call it the 10 fearless. There's 10 mm-hmm. of you guys. And I want to, that's my job. I take that which is insignificant, magnify it to be significant, and sell it to the world.
Yes.
I know good men with the ability to do what is necessary for the humanity in America. course, two of them I have on the phone. I never thought that Bill, because I said one day I'm going to call Bill. But I'm so happy you humbled yourself and came on to share what you shared with. And so my listeners are listening. I'm only going to bring them the best of the best. Because we've been broke all our life. We have nothing else to do. If we don't do nothing, get rich in spirit and rich in helping others and give back. That's what I would like to do. Jacqueline, are you out there? Someone has their open mic. If you push *6, we won't be able to hear you. Only time you come on is when you're going to speak. Outside of that, put *6, and we won't hear. If Jacqueline is not on, maybe someone else that's out there. Jonah Dillard, you may be out there. I have judges that I have sent out, or emails that is on the line. If you like to interrupt, be kind to do so. We would like to hear your questions because I can ask a lot of questions. But I always like to share it. Muhammad the Prophet, prayers, peace upon him, when he went to war, he said, "What do you think, Ali? What do you think, Abu Bakr?" He asked his companion. If one of them said something that he believed have the ability to do it, he said, "Then you lead us into the war." And that's the way the Prophet always was. He always wanted to share with people who have thoughts, whether they men or women. He asked questions. So that's all I'm doing. All I'm doing is giving you a vehicle to show you that communication is everything. But you just can't communicate just with us, because us men communicating, and where have we been? You have to communicate for all humanity. Whoever got the heart, have the spirit, have the transparent and the love and affection for self and kind, meaning every human being is your brother. We're all from the children of Adam. Does anyone else? It don't have to be a female. Is any man out there that's on the line? Elio, you have a right to. I know my sister is always going to be around me, and you know the flag man very well. If you got a question, Elio, you are able to do so, because this will help us to get across any idea that's not on my mind. Going once. Going twice. Okay.
I don't have a question per se. Can you hear me?
Yes. Very well.
I don't have a question per se, but I am familiar all of what Flagman said, because I was there, and I am very enlightened about the attorney. I never got an opportunity to meet him, and I haven't studied his work, so I really can't ask a question that would be meaningful at this time. But I'm enjoying the show. So y'all can just continue. I'll continue to listen.
Now, that's man.
Bill, if you're still on, I have a question for you. I don't know if you're still there.
I'm still here.
Would it be possible to let's fast forward and say that we're going to do something? I'm going to call it GoFundMe, but everybody's going to give $1, and it's going to be, you know, some people are going to give more and some people will give less, but they're going to contribute to this fund for overview of police officers.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible to have a federal monitor assigned to that?
I don't know. That's kind of above my pay grade, unfortunately. I would think that under the circumstance, you know, for what it would be used, that there may be some way to accomplish that. I would think that probably people in government would be glad to hear that. That would be sort of a way to help them alleviate the problem, some of the problem that they're currently confronting in terms of the lack of trust.
Go ahead.
I think Brother Murad has said it all, in that it's all about, in both of you, it's all about trust. And so the same thing happens when you start doing these GoFundMes. I mean, people come up with these ideas every time there's some kind of major calamity, and then you worry whether or not when you give your money is it really going to them, or is it going to someone else? Because I think what's the most recent one with Bannon? Bannon, who's
right, build a wall.
Yeah, build a wall, and all of a sudden they find out that he had ripped off at least $1 million of the money. At least that's what they're accusing him of. And I kind of trust the work of the Southern District of Manhattan, their U.S. Attorney's Office there. So
yeah.
I don't think they would just put some bogus story out there.
I like
that's my point. You can't get away with it if you follow the money.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm trying to my suggestion is to put some kind of, not a solution, but a suggestion out there, because nobody in politics or nobody that I know has any kind of solution to this.
Right.
I think I got it, Flagman.
Okay.
I always. Assalamu alaikum. You see, I tell my sons, and I have to use this metaphor, and those who are knows that. They know I do. I tell my son, if you don't trust your wife, it's conspiracy. You might as well get a divorce because you're not going to make it. So you have to trust someone, and your wife you should trust. Now, why is she so loyal to you? Because there's no way a man can stop a woman from doing whatever she wants. I can tell you 100 stories that a guy never thought he was been had. The reason why a female that fears God is never going to do anything illegal or sinful pertaining to her husband. Well, that's the way deals have to be made. I don't trust nobody but myself. I don't think anyone on this phone or you can find that you can touch handle being. But I never touched anything that didn't belong to me. Flag man will tell you, if they give me 50 million, and that's my fighter's money, but I made 5 million, or I made 10 million, send me my 10 million and send him his 50 million. I don't want to touch it. I don't want to be a part of it. I don't want to ever say it that I kept it in my bank account, didn't steal it, but I drew interest on it. I don't do that. So I got 40 years of you stamping the proof that I never stole. When they said that I took money from Pacquiao, I was laughing. I said, well, y'all better go to the flag man because he's the one who paid Pacquiao.
I'm the one that gave him the checks.
So it's a lie, but that's what they do. You know, as long as you spell my name correctly, I don't mind. So I want to be able to handle these beings. I don't want to touch it, but the only thing will get you if you're a crook. I know when they come, I can hear you can't disperse money unless you got a check made. I'm the check made. You're not going to do what is not necessary being done, and I understand where money ought to go. Why? Simple. I'm like that female. You serve God as if you can see him. No, you can't see him, but he sure can see you. All these murderers that think they got away, they forgot there's another trial they got to go through, and that's the final day of judgment. And you will pay for being a murderer. You will pay for being a rapist. You will pay if you don't ask for forgiveness before you leave this world. But they don't understand that, so be it. Yes, I like GoFundMe because they got a vehicle. The reason we use Showtime and we use HBO because HBO had 50 dressable homes, meaning 50%, 50 million people can get HBO. But outside of that, they can't go no further. Showtime was 40 million. So I always dealt with the 50 million. Then I went to Showtime and raised them up. However, when you collect the money, we don't collect it. There's hundreds of distributors, 500 of them. Those are the people that control where that money goes. They'll beat Murad Muhammad, but they're not going to beat Time Warner. They're not going to be the major companies. So I would make sure they go collect my money. That's why I never lost one nickel. Because why? If I had touched it or I was in control. Well, the same way with this vehicle, however. But I need men, great lawyers. You know, I have a lawyer I love so much. His name is Hassan Abdallah. Another honest, you know Hassan very well. Hassan is one of the baddest criminal attorneys. He deals murder, double murder on 11. But when you have Hunter and Hassan and men like that around you, there's no thieves. And the money will go where it ought to go. We're not Red Cross. Red Cross was collecting 90% of 100. 90. Only 10 was going out until they boycotted it. Well, they gave them 20. What the hell is 20%? It's not going to make us successful. Overnight, you there taking 90%, 60%, 50%. It doesn't matter. However, I would like to be able to do that immediately. With men like you around, that's your board. Everything on that board has significant ability, longevity, and honesty and integrity. If we do that, you can do that tomorrow. Because that's what they do. When I went in Dubai, I didn't go there for $100 million. That's what they wanted me to leave with, $100 million. I said, hell, that's for me. I ain't come here for me. I came to stop terrorists and suicide bombers. We are not that. 90% of us are not that. That's why the flag man on there. Because he knows that 90% of law enforcers don't do that. But that 1% gets all the publicity, like Satan. Satan gets all the publicity, but he's a minority compared to 8 billion people in the world. But yet, we don't understand his schemes are weak. That's what the Quran says. But if you fall for it, and the only way they get you if you have no morals, the only way they get you if you're a thief, the only way they get you if you got greed, well, you don't have to have that. That's why it's a pyramid on every dollar. On the top is a thin line. At the bottom is wide. What they mean, you got to get credit to those 6 men that created that. They said, take a little for yourself and get the rest to the people down there. That's what we wanted to do. So, yeah, I like that flag, man. I like that. You too, along with the people that I have, you know, you got the brother from Madison Square Garden, one of the best lawyers in the corporate world. He brought over $100 million to Madison Square Garden. That's Kevin Wynn. He's just like y'all two. I could never leave him out. Because when you have men like that, they make suggestions. They say where it should go and how it should go. My decision is say yay or nay. However, we vote. It's a community. If they outvote me, only time I overrule, I think it's an exception to the rules. But if, in fact, we can do this, brother, let me tell you something. I'm here because no one can do it. You got to understand, Jerry Jones is a multi-billionaire. He owns the Cowboys. That's my friend. He wanted to be my partner. Long story. You got the man out there that I helped raise to billions, Phil Knight. I didn't know Michael Jordan. I knew Phil Knight. He brought me to Mike. I launched Jordan Brand. He's a billionaire to the day. You don't think I can go to him? Bob Iger, who just called me. He's the CEO of Walt Disney. My children was very amazed that he's talking to me for a half an hour the whole time, how we started together. And I said he was going to be president of ABC. But there's many more. There's many more people. But they are not going to give anything if they don't see you doing something for yourself. God said
well,
that. You take
Murad, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I got to throw another suggestion out, and I want to have Bill's opinion. In the FBI, when there are very dangerous situations, they call in a SWAT team, okay? And these are trained. They're trained in diffusing very difficult situations. these shooting situations are incredibly difficult. If we have this independent group, you can call it like a SWAT team. These people are trained to investigate this stuff independently. Now, I don't know what Bill's, I'm just throwing suggestions out, Bill. I hope you're still on the line. But that would be something I'd be interested in. You know, you can call it whatever you want. If you don't want to call it IAD, Internal Affairs, you can come up with a name as long as the concept works. I don't know if Bill's still there. Anyway.
Oh, it's okay. I think you're on the right track. I'm quite sure his Bill had to left and go to the laboratory. He still had the phone on to listen.
Yeah. No,
I have a question. Uncle Murad, I have a question. This is Salima. I have a question before we leave, because this is important. And this is for the flag man specifically.
Sure.
The blue wall of silence. If you have this independent group, what is the safety net for those officers who participate in such investigations?
Well, here's this. There obviously there's never 100% of anything, but what we're trying, what I'm suggesting is that instead of having the blue wall of silence investigate their own constituents, because clearly people don't trust that system as it is now. We have to try something different. And the only way to do that is to model it by the FBI using what is OPR, meaning people from Washington, D.C. that come up and do the investigations. They're independent. They don't know the constituents. They don't know the person that's under investigation. And they start from A to Z and they write a report. Because that has a, in my opinion, a better trusting than what we're doing right now. The blue wall is not working, clearly. So we have to come up with a different suggestion. It can't be somebody that doesn't understand law enforcement and doesn't know how to question police officers. I think a police officer needs to question another, or an FBI agent needs, or a retired FBI agent needs to question those officers, because he knows whether they're lying or not. And we got to have the ability to put them under oath so that the consequences are, even if I can't come up with the solution or, you know, at that particular time, if it happens down the line, then you lose your job. That's what happens in the federal system. It's called lack of candor. And I hope that answered your question, but
Excellent. Thank you.
You see,
so I'm talking about a possible solution to this that may be acceptable to all communities. So if we tell every police officer that IAD, if Internal Affairs, is now going to be an independent group, not made up of former buddies of yours, it's going to be some independent group like they do in the federal system that comes from Westchester to New York, Bergen County to New York, Rockland County to New York. And there has to be, like anything else, you can't be a professor of physics if you haven't got your master's in it. So you can't be an IAD guy unless you done some IAD guys. The people in the behavioral science unit in the FBI are psychiatrists that investigate egregious crimes for police officers. There's a number of programs out there, Manhunter and things like that, which highlight these people who are technical. And we can find those technical people. And they can be trained to do these internal affairs. But we need manpower, number one, a review board that says you're qualified, you're not, so we need some kind of document, call it a contract, whatever you want,
and then you need the funding.
Rod, it's a pleasure
always to talk. I hope you get a good feedback from your constituents.
I think you did a wonderful job. I like to say this before you leave. Everything that I went after, Fragman, including you, I didn't know if it was going to happen. I didn't know if I was going to take over Rahway State Prison and all the institutions. I had no clue that I was going to gross $117 million in 6 months. I had no idea. But when you do anything that's good, it's written in our revelation. It says it's already done. You just got to go get it. And it's not going to happen overnight. You got to work hard for it. But you have to believe in it because it's good. It's good. It's written. But you have to work for it. So this pleases me. That's I'm a thinker. I've been wanting to do this. I dreams about it. I wake up with it. As you know, we did this a year ago trying to bring everyone together. And I kept saying, I want my own network. And what makes a network, brothers and sisters, is rating. That's what made me successful over King and Arrow. I went for the ratings because that's only why they love me. Not because my wife said I'm handsome. Not because I wore nice suits. Not because I prayed five times a day. I got up and gave them, I was an asset. That's what I was. I bring big ratings. So same way with the arena. I sold out every arena, just like the flag man said when he went there into that part of the world, Louisiana, I sold it out. I sold out everything. That's what I do because I know everybody will benefit. So I'm saying the reason I've been holding on to you, Flagman, I knew you was bigger than boxing, and I knew you would be able to stamp approved honesty and integrity because that's what we need. And I need lawyers, good lawyers, and I need men and women to like the work. And I see them and I witness them because I couldn't have ran a company successful all these years and stay out of trouble. The point is, don't worry about the money. I'm going to say this to you. When we went and sat and all the top men of the intelligence said, we're with you, 20 states, first thing they asked me, how are we going to get the money? And I said to them, don't worry about it. They said, well, you're going to give every citizen. I said, nope, don't worry about it. And what people don't understand, I'm saying to you, when you talk to Walt Disney like I do, Walt Disney, ABC, all those networks want to be a part of keeping these young men off the street. More important, who don't want to be a part of keeping the houses of worship? Our mothers, our grandmothers, our children go to church, to the synagogue, to the masjids. Who doesn't want to be a part of that? It's easy, but we don't do it. So I think, and I didn't know it was going to turn out to be this, but brothers and sisters, I did not ask him. He came to me and asked, could he have time to talk to you and all? I was shocked, not to the sense that it's not in him. What name come to me so quickly? I said, good, we'll do it fine. That was just 2 days ago.
And we exactly.
And that's what we do. So this is just the first, and then Bill Howard. This is the first. I ain't brought Hassan on yet. I don't bother people that is successful in their field unless we have something that they can't say no. I'm not the godfather. I give them an offer they can't refuse, meaning if you touch their nature, that pleases them. Now, I'm going to talk about his wife. Give you 1 minute. I met her, always heard about her, but never met her. Met her for the first time when he was being honored. She said, Marad, I wouldn't have missed this for nothing in the world to see how the Muslims conduct themselves. And she grabbed and hugged me. First time I met her. She took pictures. She enjoyed watching her husband get up there and tell us, keep doing what you're doing. That's what he told them. When they gave him his honoree, he said, I've already been honored. You invited me here to the family. You can't make that up. And I take this on YouTube, exactly on YouTube. So, but we thank you, Flagman. We'll be talking. You know I got a great you. And from all the people that's listening to you, we say peace and love and be safe.
Yeah. Salaam alaikum and God bless everybody. Please.
God
bless. We're going to come up with a solution. I believe it.
As his fame says, and God bless America.
You got it. Call my phone. You leave a message, you hear that. All right. Have a great weekend and a great night, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you. Sisters and brothers, I cannot express to you enough that we don't know how powerful we are. And I'm trying to show you this because I'm not going to stop if we procrastinate. Too many people out there. The Jews will do it right away. The Christians will do it right away. And the Hindus will do it right away. We have to understand that we are for humanity. We're not just for ourselves. And the Quran says, when you think just for yourself, that's all you will get. One for one. But when you give one day to your Lord, one day, this is like a day with your Lord, Allah says, He rewards you 1,000 years, one day. What part you didn't get, or do you not want it, or you don't believe? It's in the Quran. So the Quran don't lie. So the Quran is telling you, you follow this blueprint. You want to follow all other blueprints. Now, I can say something, go in the Quran. They ain't there. You call me and say, Ra, that's not in that Quran. It's in Hadith. Say, don't tell me about Hadith. Tell me what Allah says. I don't need to know what man said, because Muhammad the Prophet ﷺ didn't say anything in the Quran. That's why he's a perfect example. Because why? He only tells you what God says. And so that's what will make you successful with all this that's going on. I spoke today, before I came here, Black Lives Matter in the park, and I wasn't really strong to speak because I forgot to eat. Yes, I forgot to eat. But I wasn't quitting because I had a message to leave them. And the same thing I'm saying now is that we don't even know the gift that God has given us for 400 years of slavery, 400 years of abuse. Tell you what all our ancestors went through. But we are breaking the covenant. We become lazy, trifling, do for self. You want to control this and control that, and it's not going to happen. But right now, we're all locked in our homes. Because why? Something about us, Allah is not pleased with. There's no way that the brothers from Pakistan and from India and from Turkey and from Saudi Arabia and any other foreign country is supposed to be separated from us. But they are. They're separating their intellectual mind. And their thoughts, and to believe that you are not a Muslim. That's very highly intelligent, unintelligent. So I'm saying that if we would just unite, this is the beginning. We'll be back, inshallah. We'll be back this coming Friday. Tell your brother, you tell your sister, you tell your friends, you tell your neighbors, because this is the beginning. I'm going to look for someone else. Now, you say, well, Rod, you was teaching Juma. No, you ain't teach Juma in a sacred place like the masjid or in your home with your family or outside if you chose to do that. The whole earth, masjid Allah, masjid Allah-i. The whole earth is Allah's masjid. But you have to get up and go to work. Understand when the calling of the Adam, when the calling of prayer, what is Allah saying? Come to success. That's after you come to pray. But you come to success. Where is the success? The success is not going to happen until we unite. So if you worry about who's not uniting, what are you doing? Because you got an answer for you. I got an answer for me. Every individual got to ask for themselves in the day of judgment. Don't worry about them. Now, I heard Mama on this phone. She don't think I heard her. I hear her voice over top of everybody, but she was on this phone. And Mama, I don't care when she thought that something should be the way she wanted to be, and she's a female, you would think she got a man's mind. Yes, she does. That mind is not male nor female. It's a taqwa. Your consciousness is a God's will, and her will was to get it done. Oh, no, this ain't going down like this. And she did that, and successfully. Oh, they didn't like her, and they tried to stop her, but she ain't stopped. Man, can you give me 10 more like that? Suppose it was 100 more. You know how powerful we would be? But for some reason, the imams believe that Allah put them in charge. It's not right. It's not written. You are is to recite the Holy Quran, imam. But you're not a school teacher. You're not a scientist. You're not a doctor. You're not an entrepreneur. You can't be in every spot. Of course, you're not going to go nowhere. And that's right. They're not going anywhere. So right now, who you see, you can't pick. No, yes, it was a black woman that came up with Black Lives Matter. But she didn't create black life, black and proud. She didn't create that. That came from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. What she did is kept it going consistently, repetitionally. She didn't give up. And look, the whole entire ummah, as you want to call it, a whole community around the world grasped that saying because of one man. And I said it today. The reason why he's famous, it was very insignificant, because three things won't touch your nature. I can't breathe. It got your attention. You're going to kill me. Oh, boy, you awake. But when he said, Mama, 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 you have to be Satan yourself to not to want to hear that man call you my sisters. And that's why Allah said, look at me. I don't need you. I created everything for you all, but I need nothing from you and nothing from my creation. And I'll move Black Lives Matter on the lips of every human being around the world. Now, is they Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? No, they're the Ushwa of Muhammad the Prophet. Because who established that? Muhammad the Prophet never left that part of the world. But go to Italy, go to Spain, go to Poland, go to Russia, go to China, come to America. And we all say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. How did he get around the world? And there was no communication back there. Allah don't need nothing from man. And that's what I'm saying to you. You don't need the government to give you nothing. You heard what I said, because that's how I talk. No, I don't want our money with no government, because someone might not wake up. I need men that got longevity, that they operate in the nature in which they have been created. Sure, we make mistakes, but we will not steal from another group of people. So this is what makes us who we are. And now, give me a trillion. Oh, God, that's too much money. Man, make it 25 trillion. Guarantee I ain't stealing anything. But a lot of people are going to benefit, because that's what I see. I want to see progress. And we'll be able to clean up these streets and do just like the flag. Man, it's a great idea. They don't have the money to get independent. How much it costs? Well, it's going to cost $20,000. You got it. How much is it going to cost? It costs $100,000. You got it. How much is it going to cost? We have it. Because why? We're one. Allah don't want one person to go in their pocket. They don't want two people you work hard and go in your pocket. But if it's 30 million of us, you got $100? Yeah, I got $100. Well, I can change this whole thing. Do the math. 30 million, $100,000. I'm sorry, $100. Just give them $100. You in the billions. You in the billions overnight. It only costs you $100. So you think we can't build our own schools? We don't need these these raggedy buildings, these old buildings that we renovate. Build from the ground up. But build something that our children can gravitate to, that our children can play. Yes, they're going to study, but they're children. They want to play. So we got to build a basketball court. We got to build a football field. Yes, we have to build. And this myth that someone came to me and said, Brother Murad, do we play music? It was said on my radio, on Block Talk Radio, New Africa Excellent Enterprise Murad Speaks. I said, let me tell you what the prophet said, prayers be upon. They were singing, they were dancing, they were playing the tambourines. You know how you sisters can do that, noise. Oh, you know how y'all do that. But I was mocking them, told them don't do it. He said, no, do not stop their culture. Music is our culture. What do you mean you ain't supposed to listen to music? That's one that graduated from kindergarten and never grew. That's what's happening out here today. We don't got away from who we are. Well, Muhammad the Prophet, prayer and peace upon him, never took on any religion, but he was love. Why? He had good character. These brothers don't even have good character no more. Arrogant. Arrogant, stubborn. You call me, I got to come. Why? I put myself in that position. I can't come no more and put someone else in that position. But when your community calls you, you should come running with open arms. I'm going to leave you with this. Imam Wallerstein Muhammad says, one day we're going to be united with Minister Louis Farrakhan. He said, I may not see it, Ron, but I believe it's going to happen during your time. He said, don't push up on him. He said, but if he calls you, you come running with open arms. If you ever give up. I told him just what I'm saying to you. He grabbed and hugged me. I don't bite my tongue and I don't hurt nobody, but he knows I'm real. He's real. Y'all just don't know. He's blessed to be as old as he is in flesh, but in his nature, he's a young man. And Allah still has him here, and he has done a wonderful job, an excellent job in taking men and women and children, sending them away all the way over to Cuba to college and doctors and lawyers and engineers. He's building. But that's just 2% of us. It's billions of us. We're supposed to stop there? No, we're supposed to unite. Unite in what Allah SWT wants us to do. Is to be one Ummah. I thank you for listening. If I say anything to hurt anyone out there, I apologize from the bottom of my heart. And if I say anything out there that is incorrect, I'm human. We say subhanAllah. But if I say anything that allows you to stand up in your spirit, stand up in your soul, stand up in your deen, that will fit you in the nation in which you was created. And if you obedience to God and you have faith in God and you believe in God, don't give me that credit. Give that credit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Glorify his name. I greet you from Adam, our father, our biological father, to Ibrahim. I have a brother named Ibrahim. And I have great love for him. He was my martial art teacher. But brothers and sisters, Ibrahim is the father of all nations and all nationalities. He is the mind that can find God, and Allah reward him. Alhamdulillah. To Jesus Christ. Christ means Muslim. I told him today, he said, I'm going to leave you with a gift, my mother. Everybody thought his mother was Virgin Mary. Nobody comes back. She's not coming back. So who is this one he left? Every female is his mother. And one of y'all going to give the birth to a man just like Jesus. And don't let me have to name them all. Dr. King, Alhaji Muhammad, Emmanuel D. Muhammad, Booker T. Washington. And I start naming them in Minister Farrakhan. They are the mirror of one another. That's what the Allah the Quran said. He says, hey, man, you know, I'm just like you. No, you're my mirror. Man, you look good. I'm a mirror of you. That's what Allah is saying. That don't change. And it's talking about your character. Your character is most important. And I greet you from Prophet Muhammad Ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May the peace and blessings be upon the Prophet, his sinners, and his companions. But brothers and sisters, that salute is different because it means all of them. Yes, the seven you know well, but what about the 125,000 one brother said they are of prophets? We greet them too when we greet the seal of the prophet because all the ingredients is in him. And I greet you from the Arabic language of the Holy Quran, not Arabic. Arabic. That's what the proper name is. Because this is not language of man, this is the language of God. That Quran is Allah. And he says, As-salamu alaykum, peace be unto you. So I thank you, brothers and sisters. I was your host tonight. And thank my guest, Murad Muhammad. But we want to make a dua. We want to make a dua for those who have died for COVID-19 and those who passed away. For it wasn't COVID-19, but they said COVID-19. May Allah separate their faults from their goodness, as thou separate these from the rest and ground Jannah, and those who are sick with the disease, with the virus. And if you're sick with the virus, we ask God to lift that burden from you so you don't have to be sick, because we got a lot of people that's ill. We have people that have been in operation and went home. And so we make a dua for them. Some men and women don't like their name to be mentioned, because they don't want to be embarrassed. There's nothing embarrassed for thousands of people, millions of people praying to Allah. That makes Allah know that you did something good in the world. And those who want to help the ill, in some kind of way you couldn't, you didn't tell them to take their vitamin C, their E, their D, their 12. You know, take things that will keep your vital organs strong, and you wouldn't have to worry about catching that COVID-19. Thank you once again. I reiterate, peace and love.